Thank God. God is a good God. So we've been in a series called What Faith Is, and we just teach on faith and healing on Wednesdays continually, and so we just pick up where we left off last time. And we just go through, we're using a course called Bible Faith Study Course that's put out by Rhema, and we just use that as an outline and go through it and teach on these different things. We don't go through that. We're not going through the whole thing, but these particular lessons are from that. And so we've been talking about what faith is. Now let's turn over to Hebrews 11:1 real quick, lay our eyes on that, and then let's go forward. I encourage you, if you didn't hear some of the other messages, go back and listen to them on the web, because we don't repeat everything that we went. We've gone through different parts of different aspects of what faith is not. Sometimes you can tell what something is a little better if you look at what it is not. But emphasize different aspects. We might hit some things multiple weeks, but I encourage you, these will build on what we've already said. So go back and listen to them. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So it is the word substance there means the title deed or the undergirding, what stands under. It's the foundation of things hoped for. So the foundation of things you would expect, because the Bible word for hope means expect, to expect. It doesn't mean wish. We talked about that. The evidence of things not seen. So even if you don't see something, if it's in the Word of God, if He's promised it, if it's already been taken care of, then faith is the reason you believe. I mean, you believe. It's the evidence of that thing existing, even if you can't see it. You realize your senses can be tricked. You realize your emotions can be pushed on. You can feel sad if you go in by your emotions and there's nothing to be sad about. Right? You can wake up and you were great the night before, but something can hit you and you can feel like, what's the use of getting out of bed? But there's nothing wrong. And if you go by the feelings, you know, you can mope around all day and there's absolutely nothing wrong. Well, same thing. You know, with your physical senses, they can be tricked. Your senses can be tricked. If you just are trusting, you say, no, I'm going to go by what I feel. If I can't see it, I'm not going to believe it. Well, anybody ever heard of a mirage? You know, you're going down the road and you can see it surely looks like there's water up there, but it's not. It's not there. You cannot go by what you see, by what you feel. Your feelings, your physical feelings can be tricked, can feel a certain way. But, I mean, I'm not talking about your emotions now. I'm talking about, you know, your feelings can be tricked into you can misinterpret things. But we don't go by what we feel, by what we see, by what we hear. As Christians, we ought to go by what we believe. And there can be some tough times in life where you have to shut everything else out. You just have to go by what God said. Because if you're going by what you see, you're not going to get out of bed. You're going to stay in bed because you feel like staying in bed. Because there's no reason to live. Or there's no reason, this situation's hopeless. If you go by what you feel. But God's word is true regardless. And so we need to be centered up on what He said, and that's called faith. We talked about a long time how faith comes. Well, it comes by what He said. It comes by hearing what He said, but then when you hear what He said, there's more. It doesn't just drop on you just because you heard what He said. And even if you believe what He said, you believe it in your heart, then there's going to be something accompanying that, and that is action. If you truly believe, you will act on what He said. If you say, "I believe God," but you don't act on what he said, you may believe, but you're not going to receive the results. And we went over that. We've gone over that. We're going to continue to go over that some tonight. Faith is an action. If you believe God, you're going to act. You're going to act like it's true. If you say, I believe, but you're not going to act, you're not going to receive. You can believe in your heart, but you need to do something with it. You need to act on it. The Bible says, you know, we've quoted it many times in Romans 10, you know, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that's how you're born again. It's not just you believe. And you can go without. And we looked at this just real quick. This, you know, we're going to go into this, but we looked at Acts, and I don't really want to take time to go there to go over this, but just really quick, just lay your eyes on it, and then we'll go forward. I'm not going to take time to expound on this. There's other things related to this I want to expound on. But let's see. Go to Acts 14. Yep, Acts 14. I don't think everybody has been with this, obviously, so I just want to tie it up so we can go forward. Otherwise, you know, everybody's kind of like, you know, we're going to the next step, but not everybody's with us, then, you know, that's not as effective. So we don't have time to go over this part in depth, but I just want you to lay your eyes on it, at least. Acts 14, verse 8. It says, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice. Now, right there, it says Paul saw this man. It said observing him intently. So Paul's preaching. Paul observes him intently and sees that he has faith to be healed. So here's a question. He has faith to be healed. Is he healed at this point? But he has faith to be healed. And Paul could perceive it. He could see that he has faith to be healed. There was something in his eye that he had faith to be healed. But was he healed? No, this man has never walked. And right now, even though Paul sees, the Apostle Paul sees this man has faith to be healed. And a lot of people will say, well, if you have faith to be healed, you'll be healed. Not according to the Bible. Because he's not healed. He's still sitting. Then Paul sees that he has faith to be healed. Verse 10, then he says with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. So Paul tells him, get up. Well, then people again, we touched on this. Religion will tell you this was automatic. This was predestined. But in this case, there are moves of God and there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's you go through all the instances in the Gospels and in Acts, you'll see different places where it is the move of the Holy Spirit. Had nothing to do really with the person's faith, but you'll see majority of the instances of healing, it had something to do with the person's faith. And in this one, you see obviously, Paul saw that this person had faith. Right? So Paul said, get up. Well, this man could have said, I can't. Couldn't he? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Can he walk at this point? And he's never walked. So, you know, if the person has never walked and you say, walk, first reaction would be, I can't do that. I can't walk. I've never walked. It's not like he could walk yesterday. He's never done it. So he could have said, I can't walk. And then you wouldn't have been reading about this guy. But we get it in our head, and religion has told us that whatever God wills is going to happen. Well, you can clearly see that's not true on the earth. Because you know the character of God, and then you see what's going on in the earth. And if you say all that is God's will, there's a problem. Somewhere there's a problem. Because God is not willing a lot of the junk that's going on. It clearly contradicts His word. So is He willing stuff that then contradicts what He specifically said should not happen? Is He willing all the junk that we see put out as entertainment? Let me just ask you, is he controlling the people that put out the junk that would be called entertainment in Hollywood? Is He controlling them and making them do that? But religion, some religion and Christianity will tell you God is in control. Control of what? Is He in control of everything? Is He forcing them people to write all this junk and film all this junk? Well, He's not obviously controlling them. He doesn't control everything. He is sovereign, and in His sovereignty, He has given man a free will. And He's left some stuff up to us. Amen? I mean, you don't have to think about it any further than that to see that's not true. It's not true that He is controlling everything and that everything that happens is His will. Well, if God wills it, well, there's all kinds of stuff that went on today that God did not will. So then what would make you think that if something will happen just because God willed it? God is willing things to happen, wants things to happen, and men are rebelling against Him left or right. And so the will of God is not being done in a lot of places on the earth, in a lot of people's lives right now, because God gave men a free will. So, just because God has provided something, wants something, does not mean it's going to be done on the earth, because in His sovereignty, He gave men a choice. Let that sit. But, so this incident is not like this man had to get up. He did not. He chose to. He chose to act on the faith that he had and believe God. And believe the word of God that was coming through Paul, and he got up. He leaped and he walked. But the point here is, faith is an act. The man believed. See, faith comes by hearing what God said. Now, faith is there. Now there's a choice. You're going to act on it. Because you can choose not to act on it, and we won't get anything. And that's the point. Faith, true faith, is accompanied by an action. If you want to receive from God, if we want to see what God has promised and what He's provided in our lives, then we would act. Now, an act, it doesn't have to be a physical action. A lot of times you can speak out the word. That's an act. You're speaking. Moving your lips is the same as moving your hand. Just different part of your body. Yeah, but you can speak and say, you can speak in line with the word. That's an act of faith. I will overcome this. I am healed. I will see this change. Defiantly, right in the face of circumstances. That's an act. And faith is an action. Now we looked over, real quick, look in Luke. Luke 5. How we doing? We'll keep moving. Luke 5. So I'm trying to get into some of these other things, but I want to give you the foundation. I'm going to give you some examples, I believe. Okay, some of these things go together. We hit a lot of scriptural examples, but then there's some illustrations that I want to give you. But if we just jump straight to those, it just seems like there are a lot of illustrations without real world stories, without any kind of biblical foundation. But we've been spending time on this. I'm trying to give you enough and get everybody together that we can read some of these things, and it's not like we're just teaching, you know, stories. These line up with the Word of God. Luke 5, verse 20. Everybody there? So let's go back to verse 17, actually. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Just notice that. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, why weren't they all just healed? Because if God's power is there, it ought to just happen. No, not really. I'm just saying that's what people say. The power's there. But notice, power has to be activated. And we know this. We've given this illustration. These lights in here are activated because we flipped those switches back there. But the power's still here. I mean, when you flip those switches off, the power didn't leave the building. They're just not going through these lights. But the power's right there. It's the same thing here. The power was surrounding that area. The power of God was present to heal. Well, why isn't everybody healed then? You could ask the same question. The power's here. Why aren't the lights on? What would your answer be? The switch. What's the switch? Come on, help me. What's the switch? Faith. Faith is the switch. The switch of faith. You turn the switch of faith on. That causes God's power to flow. That is the key. God's power can be hovering over somebody to where they can barely stand up, and if they won't reach out and take it, they stay in the same condition. Because you have to act on it. You got to believe. You have to act and believe. You got to believe, but you got to reach out and do something. So these guys, you can clearly see they did. Verse 18, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of Jesus. When he saw their faith. Now again, he can see their faith. You can see how he saw their faith. They're getting up on top of the house and they're trying to get to Jesus. Why would they do that if they did not believe that if they got to Jesus, something was going to happen? It's clear that they believe something. If they don't believe that there's something about Jesus, they're not going to take their friend and carry him and then carry him up on top of a house, which maybe it's not that big, but it's still, you know, on top of a roof. You can still, it doesn't have to be too high before that guy could hurt himself. Even worse, and the guy had to have faith. He had to let his friends carry him up there. And so they're there together. They're believing that if they can get their friend to Jesus, something's going to happen. So Jesus sees this, saw their faith. He said, man, your sins are forgiven you. Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, we already saw, they came in with faith. They're believing there's something there. But he did not have to get up and walk. See, people read this different. They say, they basically looked and say and think, Jesus gave the command and now everything is okay. And so the guy had to get up. He told him what to do, just like Paul. He could have sat there and said, I can't do that. But you clearly see that the man had faith. He already was believing that something was going to happen. I just need to get to Jesus and something will happen. And you see this with people today in this world. This is why there is a move of God in certain services in certain places, because you have people that are doing this very thing. And why people say, well, it's not happening in this country, it's happening in others. Well, look around. If you get faith, it will still happen. You get people together that believe God, that's the switch. But you got a bunch of complacent, indifferent people, you know, around that are distracted by a bunch of stuff. Yeah, it's no wonder you don't see the size and the scope of certain things happening. But when you have thousands of people going across country carrying their friends, bringing people in other countries to get to a meeting because they believe if they get there, they'll be healed. The atmosphere is so charged. These people reach out. People get up that weren't walking. People's eyes are open. People's ears are open. It's not favoritism. It's just that people are expecting and believing God, and that it's just like the electricity. It's just charged, and that switch turns on. Boom. It hits people, and it's just the same right now, even in this room. I mean, I'm not saying there's a special anointing in here right now, but we have the Word of God. You don't have to wait for a special anointing. We just got to believe what God said. Now, right now, you can receive healing right now. You have to wait for a special prayer. You could just say, yeah, I believe that. But God's word's for me, and I believe it. You could be healed right in the service and walk out healed. There's nothing keeping us from what God promised. He's not keeping it. It's not His time. It's us turning the switch on. It's us acting and saying, I believe that. I'm acting like it. It's true in my life. And that's what we're talking about. That's what happened here. So verse 24, Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Hallelujah. He went off and he was well. But you could tell that's what he was expecting when he got carried into the place. He was believing something was going to happen and that God was going to, that Jesus could do something about his situation. So people make the mistake of thinking that, well, I'm just trusting God, something's just going to happen, but they're not acting like the Word of God's true now. And we can get into wait mode and like God's going to do something independent of me mode. That's acting like it's all up to Him. You know, if people did that with salvation, well, God will save me when He gets good and ready. No, God already provided salvation. It's the day, today's the day you need to say, I believe it and receive it. If people are saying, well, I just believe God will save me if he wants to. No, that's not what we share. We share Jesus died and paid for your sin. And if you'll receive Him today and act on that and confess Him as your Lord and Savior, believe that He rose from the dead, confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved, right? There's no God's got to get in the mode of making up His mind that you're going to be saved. It's just acting on what He already said. And that's the same thing with healing. We're talking about faith principles in general, but with healing, it's the same thing as just believe and act like it's true. And act on it. Agree with Him. Act. He may lead you to do something you couldn't do before. Well, my back hurts. I can't bend over. Well, I'm not saying you got to act in line with your faith, but faith will do something it couldn't do. If you can, you know, I can't move my arm. Well, you start moving your pinky. I can move. You know, you're doing whatever, just defiantly what I couldn't do. You start moving. Well, look at that. I can move more and I can move more. And if you say, well, I can't move it. Well, don't say you can't. Number one, say, I believe Him that I am healed. My arm is strong. And you start speaking what the Word says, even if you can't move it at all. My arm's strong. Doesn't look like it. The Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I'm strong. That goes along with everything we're saying. You're weak. But the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. You don't say, oh, I'm just so weak. Oh, I can't. Oh, I wish I could move my arm. I just can't move my arm. I just can't move my arm. I just can't move my arm. Well, that's kind of like these two cases that we've read. These people that are crippled, they could have said, I can't get up. I can't get up. But they believed, and they did. They acted on it. So, no, you start, even if there's nothing else, you say, well, I can't do anything. There's nothing I can act. You can act by saying. When the thought comes, you can't. You say, no, you quote what the Word says. By His stripes I was healed. If you've received healing, then you say, by His stripes I am healed. This will change. My whatever it is strong. It works correctly. You have an internal part that doesn't work. You start, instead of saying what it looks like, you start saying what God said. You know, my kidneys function normally. My heart functions normally. Whatever it is, I have full mobility. And act on it. That's not just mouthing words. That's giving action to what you believe in your heart, and it's lining up with what God said. in His Word. Amen. Let's see if we can read. I would give you a few illustrations here. You guys okay with that? So, yeah, I just read some of these because you know what? I didn't see some of these things, and I could paraphrase some of it, but I'll just give it to you, you know, in Brother Hagin's words, some of these, because he walked a long time with God, and he saw certain things. Now, you don't make doctrine on people's experience, but you can use illustrations that illustrate what the Word of God teaches, things that we've seen, and it can encourage you to use your faith, and you can see somebody receiving the same thing or acting on the same thing. I'm going to skip one here. We gave last week. But there's some illustrations here. I just want to show you several of them about people acting on the Word or not acting on the Word. There's this one here. It says, there was a woman in one of our churches where I pastored who was in a wheelchair. She had arthritis, and the doctor had told her some years before that she wouldn't be able to move. He said she would have to become bedfast or stay in a wheelchair, and her body would be locked in that position. In other words, her body would be locked either in a prone position or in a seated position. She and her husband never missed a service. Whether it was a weekday meeting, a Sunday service, or a revival meeting, they were always there. I could pray for that woman with any other ailment, and she would always get healed, but she never asked me to pray for her arthritis. This bothered me as there were several people in the church who had been healed of very serious conditions. Some of the people would say about this woman, maybe it's not God's will to heal her. But I knew it was God's will because it's His will to heal everyone. That doesn't mean that Christians aren't going to heaven because they don't get healed. It just means that they are robbed of a blessing while on the earth. One afternoon, a small group of church people gathered together, and we went to this woman's house to pray with her. As we prayed, I saw exactly what God would have me to do. Now watch this. I said to everyone, move away from her. And I went to the opposite side of the room from her. We were in a large room. I said, watch and don't anyone touch her. Stay away from her. Then I pointed my finger at her and said, now arise and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a witness to the fact, as well as everyone else who was present there that day, that an unseen power lifted her out of that chair and she just sat up in midair away from the chair. She could move her arms and she reached down for that wheelchair. When she did that, she just fell back into it. The moment she did that, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, I said without thinking, sister, you don't have a bit of faith, do you? You don't believe you'll ever be healed of this arthritis, do you? And she spoke up immediately and said, no, Brother Hagin, I don't. I'll die and go to my grave with it. And she did. That's sad. You think, well, if the power of God were there, it's automatic. It's not automatic. The power of God will be on you to do certain things. But we have to cooperate with it. We read in Luke, the power was present to heal. Well, if the power is present to heal, why isn't everybody just jumping up healed? Why do they have to act on anything? Well, if it's God's will, why does it just happen? Because people have to believe, and we have to act on it. This is good news. This is not bad news. This is good news. We can act on it. Another, this is an illustration, very similar. I've seen this. Similar things. So the people think with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, to receive the Holy Spirit, and that experience that goes with that, people think they get this idea that somehow God's going to take them over and make them speak. But that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will not do that. Evil spirits do that. Evil spirits push and drive. If you ever feel driven, it's not God. A shepherd leads sheep. He does not drive. Now, you drive cattle, you drive different, but a shepherd will just lead sheep. He's walking out ahead. The sheep are following. If you feel pushed, like God is just trying to push you to do something, it's not God. Did you hear me? Yes. It's not God. That's not the Spirit of God. Now, he will urge, he'll prompt, but he won't push you. That doesn't mean he won't ever be strong with you. It's going to be relative to your relationship with them, though, and he's going to tell you in the way you can understand it. And don't you know that? You deal with a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old different than you do a 25-year-old, right? Yes. Now, you may tell them to do certain things. You may tell them strong, but there's a difference between you pushing them. You know, well, God's the same way. God's not going to push you. And so in this area, people get the wrong idea that somehow, they're just going to, with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that somehow God's going to make them speak in tongues. Well, if he were doing that, that means he just overrode your will and is taking control of your body and making your mouth move. Devils do that. But those people, even in the case, see, a demon cannot just overtake somebody. We have no reason to fear demons. They're real, but you don't fear them. They can only do what somebody will allow them to do. People open themselves up to that, yield to it, and if they do that long enough, they will just push in there and overtake. But they can't just overtake you. So you don't ever have to be afraid. But how would you give place? You don't look at stuff you should not be looking at. You don't watch horror movies. Do not watch things that could put fear into you. Do not on purpose disobey what you know to do. But you have to go far. You start messing with stuff that's demonic. Don't play with it. Don't go near it. It's not funny. It's not a joke. People play with Ouija boards and stuff. They're foolish. They think that's a game. It's not a game. There really is forces, but they have nothing on the child of God. Because you have the Almighty inside, not just a spirit, the Spirit of the living God resident on the inside of you, which is just, you can't even really comprehend. That you're talking about individual little fallen angels or wicked spirits. They're nothing compared to the Almighty, and we're children of God, and they know that. They know who you are, but people need to understand who we are so we can stand up anyway. That's beside the point, but demons and evil spirits will try to push you. God does not. So we'll wrap up here. This will illustrate this part. Says, I was conducting a meeting in a town in Texas, and a woman there had written to a friend to come down to the meetings to receive the Holy Ghost. She came, and afterward, being in two of our services, she came forward to receive the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. I laid my hands on her and prayed, and the Holy Ghost came upon her, and she would not respond. I knew exactly what was wrong with her, but sometimes you can't tell people what's wrong because they aren't ready to receive from you. I laid hands on her again, and the same thing happened. Still, she didn't respond. I knew it would take some time to get her to see where her trouble was, and it was getting late, so I just turned the service back to the pastor. After the meeting, when I was walking out of the church and across the parking lot to go to the parsonage, I noticed this woman sitting in the car. She looked so disappointed. I asked the Lord to let me help her. The Holy Spirit instantly showed me how to help her. I went to her car and opened my Bible to Acts 2:4 and handed it to her and asked her to read the verse of Scripture aloud. She said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I said to her, sister, who does that scripture say did the speaking in tongues? She said, well, it says the Holy Ghost did. So I had to read it again, and finally on the fourth time she was beginning to catch on. So she read slowly, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Astonished, she said, well, they did the speaking. She took my Bible out of my case and looked at it. She thought maybe I had a different Bible than she did, but it was the same Bible. You know, she said, I always thought that the Holy Ghost did the speaking. The Lord had already shown me that what was hindering her from receiving. Then I said to her, let's read several other scriptures so you can just see that it's not one isolated passage. And so we read Acts 10:44 through 46, where it's Cornelius' house, and it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." And she said, "Oh, I see it." And then he said, "I said, that's two witnesses, let's get three." So we turn to Acts 19:6, and it says, "When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." She said, "You know, Brother Hagin, if they'd call me to be a witness in court, and the lawyer asked me who did the speaking in tongues, I would have said the Holy Ghost does, and I would have thought I was telling the truth." I asked, "Now I want to ask you a question. When I laid my hands on you a while ago, did the Holy Ghost," you know, that's the King James, but, you know, like New King James says, Holy Spirit. "Did the Holy Spirit come upon you? Did the power of God come on you?" She said, "Absolutely." I said, "I want to ask you another question. Did your tongue want to say something that wasn't English?" She said, "Why, it was all I could do to keep from it." I said, "You're not supposed to keep from it. You're supposed to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit gives you utterance, you must have faith to act and speak out that utterance. You're not supposed to keep from yielding to the Holy Ghost. You're supposed to yield to Him." Same thing. See, the power of God, and I've seen this. This is the way, when we pray for people, this is the same thing we tell them. We're going to lay our hands on you, which there's different, I'm not going to teach on it now, but there's different ways to receive the Holy Spirit. You don't, there's three out of the five, they laid their hands on them, and they receive. But like in Cornelius' house, Peter's preaching, and it just fell on them, and they started speaking. But there is, just like what Brother Hagin said, there's the power of God. When we lay hands on you and say, "Receive the Holy Ghost," the power of God comes on a person. And it's there. The power of God is there, resident, but God's not going to force. Do you think, does God have the power to make your mouth speak? The power. He has the power, but He won't do it. He's given you the will, the free will. But physically, I mean, He could lift you up and twirl you around in the sky and do whatever. He has infinite power. He could do whatever. But He chose not to. And so the power of God is there, but we have to yield to it. It's just like what we said. We saw the power of God was resident to heal. The power of God is resident for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the switch has got to be turned on, and we have to yield to Him. What does yield mean? It means to get out of the way and let through, right? When we're on the road and we say yield, does that mean jump ahead in front of the person? No. It means if they're going, you let them go. Now, could you, and people get ticked at this, right? Could you cut them off? That's what people are doing with God all the time. See, God's coming through, and then instead of yielding and just let Him go through, yield and act and just say, "God, I sent you there, go," and start speaking, they put the brakes on. And then they say, I don't understand it. I can't speak with other, I don't know. There's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. We just got to yield to God. We just got to yield to Him. Amen? Praise God.